Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, October 25th, 2022. And today we are reading from the big book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We're on page 37, and we're today a single paragraph. And it begins with, "You may think this an extreme case," and ends with, "How it could have happened." Today's readers are the 12 steps, Rhonda R., the 12 traditions, Terry H., and reading the text and support today, Leslie M., Shelley E., and Stephanie L. Towards the end of our meeting, at the last 10 minutes of the hour, listen for Alex K., so she's going to be greeting newcomers today and getting contact numbers of all sponsors that are available to sponsor today. You may want to have pen and paper for that. And then Robin P. will be available to give you announcements and give you more information about our website. So stay tuned for the very, very last minute. Always good things happening here. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting is 19552. That would be 19,552. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, Big Book Study meeting is 19554, 19,554. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At the Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Rhonda R. from Georgia to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Rhonda.
Thank you very much, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for letting me be of service this month. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Rhonda R. from Georgia. I would now like to ask Terry H. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everybody. Melanie, for your service. My name is Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Number one of the 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, and that's to carry the message to compulsive eaters who still suffer. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige deter us from our primary purpose. 7, our OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but may be created services bound boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and television, and other media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to be of service today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Terry H. from Florida, for stepping in to make our service roster complete this morning. Very much appreciated. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months.
Silence.
There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read.
Well, I guess I'll go pee since I'm so nervous.
We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And if we can ask you to check that sometime by pressing star 1 on your phone keypad. And also, even if you're in queue to read, please always be in the star 1 key function for muting your phone because noise can come through, as you can tell. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism, and we're on page 37 today, and you'll find us studying the single paragraph, number 2, which begins with, you may think this an extreme case, and ends with how it could have happened. And I'd like to start this meeting out with that particular paragraph reading by asking Leslie M. to read that paragraph and talk about what her experience in recovery has been with that one. And then we will open up to the greater part of the fellowship here for sharing on that paragraph. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. You may think this an extreme case. To us, it is not far-fetched. But this kind of thinking has been characteristic of every single one of us. We have sometimes reflected more than Jim did upon the consequences, but there was always the curious mental phenomenon that parallel with our sound reasoning, there inevitably ran some insanely trivial excuse for taking the first drink. Our sound reasoning failed to hold us in check. The insane idea won out. Next day, we would ask ourselves in all earnestness and sincerity how it could have happened. And this paragraph is totally, totally appropriate for me. I had an experience. I was originally entirely abstinent back in 2018, and I'd been 7 weeks entirely abstinent and was working on my fourth step. And what happened for me is I went to a face-to-face meeting and someone said something at the meeting that got stuck in my head. And what happened after that, it was a morning meeting. It was when we still had face-to-face meetings. So it was a morning meeting. And I'd eaten my breakfast, but I didn't eat lunch and I didn't eat dinner. And I binged about that night. And I'm grateful. And for that event, I'm really grateful because it finally got me to the point where I realized that that my first step experience for me needed to be that I'm not just powerless over the food, but I'm also powerless over my thinking. And that my best thinking is always going to take me back to the food, whether it be a good reason or a bad reason or a lie that I've told myself a million times, you know, that each time that I didn't even have to make up new lies anymore. I could just go on the same old lie. I love that. It says, you ran some insanely trivial excuse for taking the first drink. Our sound reasoning failed to hold us in check. And at that point, obviously, at 7 weeks entirely abstinent, I knew that, that I knew I felt better. Maybe I'd lost a little weight at that point. But the point was, is that my brain, the disease, could still take me back to that point where it was like, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, you have to do this, you know. And, I know for myself that it has, you know, that has been the case. That my thinking will take me back. I had an incident last year where I had an argument with my sister and I was right and she was wrong. And that I was right attitude took over the rest of my life. And I did end up breaking my abstinence again last year in November. And, it was crazy, you know. My first, as a compulsive overeater, my first thought was, yeah, I'm just not going to talk about it. But I knew that that would lead me to that same miserable lying life that I'd always had and that I had to talk about it. So, you know, the same reasoning did come through and I started talking about it. And I started over, got entirely abstinent again, went back through the steps, saw, you know, some things that I needed to take care of. And, thank God I'm recovered again. But, my thinking at any point is always going to take me back there. So although I knew I'm not responsible for my first thought, I am responsible for any thought or action after that. And, and I have to keep really strong in program and do the work that I need to do, work with others and be, and do the other spirit to keep my spiritual fitness in the right place so that I can hear those rational thoughts instead of the insane thought. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leslie M. from New York, for getting us started this morning. We'd like to open up the lines now to take additional names for comment on paragraph 2, page 37 of your big book. And it begins with, you may be thinking this is an extreme case, and we're going to unpack that paragraph only, please, today, if you'd have your focus share there. And although we do value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So I'm ready for first names, first initials, and perhaps dates.
Kim A.
Kim A.
Danielle W.
Danielle W. Is that it this morning? Okay, let's start with that so we do not burn up any time. Kim A., you want to get started for us this morning? And Danielle W., and we'll open it up again.
Yeah, thank you. This is Kim A. from New York City. If we're on this line, then, of course, we relate to Jim, and we relate to that insane thinking that leads us to take that first compulsive bite. But the problem is not the food, right? We learn that over and over. In the big book, the problem is not the alcohol. The problem is the insane thinking, because had it not been for that first thought, right? We all have that unmanageable mind that brings us back to take that first compulsive bite, even though we know what's going to happen. So our problem is our mind. Our problem is that we can't manage that decision to not take that first bite, right? Because after we do that, we're completely powerless. So the problem is not the food, just like the problem wasn't the alcohol. And there are quite a number of times in this book where they say that you don't need to avoid alcohol. Keep alcohol in your house. You don't have to not go into a bar if you have a good reason for being there. You don't have to. There's one spot where it says something like you could be on like the polar ice cap and an Eskimo would like show up with a bottle of booze, right? There's just absolutely no way to avoid it because the problem is not the alcohol. Just like for us, the problem is not the food. So for me, the only thing that has worked to keep me recovered has nothing to do with food. It's about working these steps. And if I work these steps, I don't have to worry about eating compulsively. Because instead of seeking ease and comfort from food, just like Jim sought ease and comfort from alcohol, if I'm working the steps, regardless of what I'm eating, then I don't have to worry about that because it's going to keep my insane thinking in check. I'm not going to eat on a lie. I mean, sorry, I'm not going to eat on the truth. And the truth is that somehow, regardless of what my food looks like, the truth is that I have this delusion in my head that food is going to make it better. So if I'm doing steps 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis, if I'm sending my sponsor a 10th step whenever I see my defects popping up, and I'm using a real solution for that discomfort I'm feeling, for that fear or that resentment, right? The real solution is being helpful to someone else, reaching out to my higher power. That's the real solution. For me, the real solution was never following a food plan, weighing and measuring, avoiding sugar. If I could do those things, then I could follow a diet, just like everybody else in the world. I wouldn't need to be here. I can't do that. That never helped me. What did help me was working the steps exactly as they're written here. And so we know that from these italics.
Time.
Oh, thanks. I will wrap up with that. Thanks. Kim A., New York City. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Kim A. Appreciate that. New York City. Danielle W. from California. You're next. 3 minutes.
Thank you. Good morning, fellows. This is Danielle W. Recovered one day at a time because of this wonderful program. You know, this really resonates to me. Our sound reasoning failed to hold us in check. The insane idea won out. And I think back for most of my life, I prided myself on my thinking, you know, my sound thinking. And I was a thinker. And it never occurred to me that maybe those thoughts were in any way distorted or misguided. I mean, I really had confidence in my ability to think through problems. You know, now, having worked the steps and been in this program for quite a while, you know, I can see the delusion so much more clearly. And I think for me, the first time that I had that moment of awareness was when I was doing step 4. And I would come into some, you know, resentment or fear, certain of my mental process. And by the time I came out the other side, I could see that I was looking through a different lens, that I wasn't actually seeing things clearly. You know, delusion is part of this program. And the beauty of it now is I get to be returned to sanity. You know, I look back at the insane things I would do to try to keep my weight in check. You know, the injections or not eating every other day, or, I mean, I could go on and on and on. And at the time, it made perfect sense to me. It never worked, but I really thought I was onto something. And then now I look back and, you know, I have to laugh at the absurdity of it all. But the best part about this program is now I know that there's a good chance that left to my own devices, I'm going to get in trouble. And so I have options now. You know, I can get back into the steps. I can call my sponsor and talk, reason things out, right, with somebody who can help me. And I always can go to God, and God will always tell me the truth and help me to see things clearly. You know, step 2 is an amazing step, but I get to be returned to sanity. You know, I don't have to live like that anymore. And that's what a gift. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Daniel. W from California. The lines are now open to comment on paragraph 2, page 37. If you've not shared in the last 3 days, we'd love to hear from you today. Anxious to do so, press star 1, please, on your phone keypad, and I'll take another lineup of first name, first initial, last name, and your state, if you'd like to.
Yvonne A.
Carrie C.
Yvonne
from California.
Carrie C. Mm-hmm.
Mike S. from Brighton, England.
Mike S. Got it.
Wendy B. from California.
Wendy B. California.
V.
Didn't hear the last one. Okay, well, let's go with that. In the interest of time a ticking, Yvonne A., Carrie C., Mike S., and Wendy B. Up first, Yvonne. Good morning.
Good morning, Yvonne A., compulsive overeater, recovered for today in BC, Canada. Good morning, everyone. Boy, this paragraph, I've only been in OA a short time. I came into the rooms in February, and just through, you know, good luck and a loving higher power who guided me into the vision world, I've landed with this big book, and it has changed my life. I had no idea that this was a thinking problem. And, you know, it talks in here about that curious mental phenomenon with our sound reasoning that inevitably ran some insane trivial excuse. I had so many excuses. Oh, my gosh. And I didn't even really think of them as excuses. And so many times of swearing off it. It was like I ate so many Last Suppers. It would be like, okay, this is it. Tomorrow the diet starts. I'm going to just go crazy tonight. I'm going to have every single thing I want. And, you know, the next morning I'd get up, it'd be sworn off. And pretty soon I'd be thinking and thinking. And I didn't even know that that thinking was just setting me up. I might have only lasted 2 hours in the morning before I was back into the food and off, you know, for the rest of that day. And so this program has gifted me the understanding that my thinking is always going to be a problem for me. Even when I'm spiritually fit, I still have those little thoughts. But the beauty now is that I recognize them. I recognize how they make me feel. I recognize immediately that something is off. And I can start to do a little bit of digging into what is actually going on instead of numbing that out again with food, which was what I did for over 50 years. I just kept everything numb with food. And so, yes, today my practices are all about, yes, I have a food plan. I weigh and measure. I do all those things. But it is my fit spiritual condition that keeps me recovered. It is understanding that this is a thinking problem and that that thinking is always going to be something that can get me in trouble. And I'm just so grateful to know that, so grateful to have all of you here to share your experiences. I get something out of this meeting every single day. So I thank you all so much, and with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Yvonne A. Next up is Terry C., followed by Mike S. Good morning, Terry.
Hi, this is Terry C.
I'm saying that. Oh. We're going to go with Terry. Let's do that one.
Okay. Hi, my name is Carrie C. I'm from California. Recovered, grateful, compulsive overeater. You know, this paragraph, I just resonate so much. And for me, it just, you know, it perfectly, this story perfectly just shows the mental twist. You know, I call myself a retread with, you know, OA, and basically I was a dry drunk in the sense that, you know, yes, I had my meal plan and I had, you know, when I got down to my ideal body weight, but I was not working the steps. I was not working the program. And eventually, you know, things that like the buildup, the emotional buildup, just, you know, I was just building up. And, you know, I eventually went back to the food because that's what my brain knows. You know, do you want to feel better? You know, I know the answer. And all my willpower and, you know, no, I don't want to do that. Eventually, the emotion will win over the intellect. And I know today that, you know, I have my meal plan. I do weigh and measure, you know, and all those good things. But it's really about, I see my meal plan as keeping a clear path to me and God. And that is what I need. And I'm just so grateful for this program. You know, when I came back in, I just, you know, before I came back in, I just wanted to die. I really did. And I don't feel that way anymore. And, you know, today I do not need to live that way. And I'm just grateful for everyone on this, you know, on this line. So thank you. And I hope everyone has a great day.
Thank you, Carrie C. from California. Next up is Mike S. from the UK. Good morning, Mike.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Mike S. from Brighton, England. This paragraph is, it speaks to me, every word in this paragraph speaks to me perfectly. I really feel that if I let my will, and I haven't handed over my will to my higher power and sought my higher power's will for me, God's will for me, always in the end, the insane idea would win out. And, you know, I can see so many examples of this throughout my life, all the times I was acting out with food and just doing whatever I wanted before I came into recovery. And then even in recovery, I had quite a long relapse back in around April, I would say, and the sand and mortar for that particular relapse was set way before then. But really, it was my sound reasoning that started to slip in. And whenever I was focusing on my own sound reasoning, I wasn't listening to my higher powers, asking for, seeking, and finding my higher powers' will for me. And that seems to me to be the key behind having the power to resist this twist of the mind, this curious mental phenomenon. And by myself, I don't have that power. By myself, it gets too strong. Whereas I can get that power from my higher power, from God, from doing the steps of this program. And that's kind of the message that for me in this paragraph is so important. When I'm following, you know, when I'm living as best as I can in 10, 11, 12, it really works, this program. It really does. This morning, I've just been making, it's early afternoon here now in England, but I've just been making calls to potential sponsoring another program, to fellows, answering calls in groups. And it just kind of freed me. That frees me from any need to even go near insane thinking. I'm not even thinking about food, or, you know, it's not on my mind at all when I do hand over and kind of follow steps 10, 11, 12 on a daily basis. So that really, I'm so thankful just to be here. And thanks so much for the meeting, everyone. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Mike S. from the UK. Next up will be Wendy B. from California. But I wanted to let folks know within 3 minutes, we will be opening up the lines again to take names for folks that want to comment on paragraph 2, page 37. So get prepared if you would, please. Thank you so much. Next up here now is Wendy B. Are you there?
Hi, good morning. Yeah, it's Wendy B. from California. And if I sound
B like
chipper,
Victor. Okay, great. Thank you.
That's okay. If I sound chipper, it's not because I found power through myself. It's because the realization that every day that I wake up and come up with a new plan, a new idea, a new formula, whether it be in this program or out of this program, I'm going to fail. I can no longer depend on my own reasoning to get me through this disease. This disease will always win. It wins day in and day out. And I have spent numerous years outside of the rooms practicing all my ideas. And I've spent time in the rooms using some of the tools that were given to me and trying to manipulate them to my suiting. But when I have this sort of thinking like Jim, Jim is definitely the poster child for this disease for the month. And Jim's thinking is just like mine. People in the program worked with him. They described the disease. So if you're sitting in here and somebody helped you see what the disease was and then you ran off and thought, great, now I have some information and some knowledge and I can control this thing. If you have a mind like mine, you're going to eat again. And you're going to eat again because self-knowledge avails us nothing. I will never wake up and be able to figure this out. The insane idea of myself will always win out, whether I come up with a new food plan, a new sponsor, a new day of the time to read the big book. Of myself, I will always eat again. My mind is defective. It's completely defective and will always go back to the refrigerator, the restaurant, the fast food drive-through over and over and over. Even though I have some good ideas, the insane idea will always win out, no matter what the consequences are. And that is where the relief comes. I will never of myself come up with something strong enough to fight this disease. And that is why I desperately reach out to a power greater than myself. Not because I'm some goody two-shoes handing out religious pamphlets, because I am a desperate, die-hard, can't figure this disease out, can't work it on my own, compulsive overeater who needs the help of God. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Wendy V., like Victor from California. The lines are now open for comments on paragraph 2, page 37 of the Big Book. Where is your extreme thinking? And have you ever thought through consequences so much? And have you turned the dimmer switch down on your intuition or that voice that says you are none too smart? Love to take your first name, first initial of your last name.
Joy B, California.
Larry
Joy
G,
B, California.
California.
Larry G, California. Representing today. Who else? Looks like we're taking two at a time.
Anna
okay,
R.
Let's go, Joy B.
Anna R.
Yeah.
California.
Oh, my goodness gracious. We are representing today. Okay, Joy B., Larry G., and Ann R. You're up for three, Joy.
Good
Everybody
morning. Thank
one,
you
please.
So much. I'm so blessed by all of you who are present and just so blessed by those of you who serve. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I just wanted to share, as embarrassed as I am, God said share. It's a gift. I am 81 years of age, December 7th. I'm in a hospital right now. I'm in a hospital. I've been in a hospital almost a month. All of it, every single thing wrong with me due to overeating. Yes, I'm in recovery, but I was also, as my fellow said earlier, a dry drunk. I spent perhaps the last 7 years. My mother sent me off to Weight Watchers camp at 11, okay? I have spent all these years going to OA meetings. There is not a meeting or a program that you could name that I haven't been through, okay? And always in the end, I would come out and say, well, you know what? If you just add a little bit of whipped cream on top of that, you're brave. After all, you're a professor, two doctors. What the heck? You know how to get out of this. And as I lie here in the hospital, if you believe it or not, with congestive heart failure, where they say to you, you know what? All those other programs that you have that make things better, congestive heart failure cannot be improved. You have to watch everything you put in your mouth. You have to exercise appropriately or you will die. So now there's like no provision for my thinking. I have to now, I'm forced to depend on higher power. That is all I have. So my understanding, my gift finally, in the final chapter of my life, is to understand that no matter how great I am as a driver, no matter how great my programs, my diets, my solutions, in the end, there is only the higher power. I don't have what it takes to figure it out, but I do not believe that actually yesterday I listened to the thing that really has changed my life is vision. I've lost more than 60 pounds since April. I found vision in April. And I cannot believe that yesterday, if you believe this now, a little voice said to me, oh, well, after all, you've been in the hospital for a month. You're suffering. You're having a really awful time. Just one little treat. You can handle it. No problem. So let me say this about that. That voice of illusion is alive and well, and it will court you and hold your hand. It will be with you to the end of time. I thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Joy B. from California. Next up for 3 minutes, Larry G. from California. And then we'll follow with Ann R.
Good morning, everybody, and happy birthday, you 81-year-old youngster. I hope that there is a lot of new people on this line today and those who are returning, because Bill is laying out. He's laying out the problem and solution. And it wasn't until I came back to OA and to Vision that I really understood what the problem is, what the true definition of insanity is. I spent 20 years in Overeaters Anonymous, and I thought the true problem was food. I thought the problem was circumstance. I thought the problem was unwanted feelings. And I'm learning, and I know the difference. I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous 41 years. You go to an AA meeting, and I'd recommend, if you're not in AA, to go to open meeting, because they talk about the insanity. Insanity is the obsession of the mind. It is my thinking that has been the problem. Food's not a solution or the problem, but Larry is the problem and the solution. He is the beginning and the end. This week, for example, last week, I've been doing some things that a recovered person doesn't do. For example, I thought it was a good idea to go without buying food. I didn't want to prepare, so I've been eating out a lot. Eating absently, but eating out a lot, which is not my friend. I thought it was a good idea to have a cup of decaf coffee with my breakfast last week. And medically, I'm not supposed to drink decaf coffee or any kind of caffeinated beverage, because I have a brain chemistry that doesn't tolerate it. But I did. And my wife, who is in Alcoholics Anonymous, also OA, long-term member, says, Larry, you are the definition of, you are Jim in the story, right? Right. Because I thought it was a good idea. The thought came across my mind, hey, Larry, have a little decaf coffee. What's the harm? Put some cream in it. Have it with your breakfast. And I'm telling the truth, and I have been fearful about putting that on my alcoholic food list, even though I don't obsess over it. I don't crave it. I don't drink gallons of it. It belongs on the red light, and I'm going to talk to my sponsor about that this morning and come clean with that. So the definition of sanity is in the doctor's opinion. It is the obsession of the mind, the delusion of the mind that triggers this craving that leads to making the supreme sacrifice, doing whatever you need to do to eat food compulsively. Love this program.
That's time.
Thank you very much. And I pass. I pass it back to you, Mel.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks, Larry G. from California. Next up, Ann R. from California. Then we have more time probably for others to comment. If you're from California, you're certainly welcome to share, but it's also open to every one of us. So good morning, Ann R. Press star one, please.
Good morning, my fellows. My name is Ann R. I'm from California. I am a compulsive overeater, and I'm working on recovery. I'm very, very, very pleased to be here on this meeting with you this morning and to share. about this paragraph. Let's take a look at this. But there was always the curious mental phenomenon that paralleled with our own sound reasoning. Okay, always. That means I can't get away from it. I can't hide from it. I can't medicate it away. I can't analyze it away or justify it away. It's going to always be there. And it says right here that it parallels with my sound reasoning. That means that it's like two tracks, two paths, if you will. Which path am I on? Where are my feet? Where are my actions? What are my motives? And along with what I think I need to do is what my disease is doing. And it's over there doing push-ups. So I have no strength against it. It says here that inevitably ran some insanely trivial excuse for taking the first drink. That's the seduction that my disease has for me. It will con me, lie to me, seduce me. It'll just mess with me. I'm being very careful here because I know we're online, so I've got to watch my language. But you might be thinking the same word that I'm thinking of what it does with me. So being powerless means coming to the acceptance that I have absolutely no control whatsoever in this situation. Months ago, I was talking to someone, pardon me, I have to clear my throat, about the foods that excite me. When I was starting to take a look at my alcoholic foods, what is it that I get excited about anticipating putting in my mouth, putting in my body, putting in my life? And there were some things that I just couldn't get to that list. There was no way, for example, that I could ever imagine not eating popcorn. Popcorn had become my god. And I couldn't figure out what it was about it because, hey, it's not sugar, right? It's, what is it? Well, it was the compulsive behavior of a handful of it being stuffed in my face over and over again. Like, more, more, more. Can't get enough, can't get enough. I'm abstinent from popcorn today, and I have been. My pantry's been cleaned out. My refrigerator's been cleaned out. I am working with my God. And now pass. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Ann R. from California. Looks like there's time for at least one more share here this morning. If you'd like to comment on paragraph 2, page 37, we'd like to hear your voice this morning. Help us close us out.
Kelly H., North Carolina.
Hey, Kelly. Kelly H., North Carolina. The 3 minutes are yours. Love to hear from you.
All right. Well, I am a compulsive overeater. Good morning, everyone. From North Carolina. And struggling with abstinence like crazy, I would say the better part of this year, if I have to be honest. But one thing that this paragraph really is making me mindful of is the knee-jerk reaction I long to have between my aggravations, my resentment, and the compulsive tendency to want to go eat something. This morning, I'm having a little tiff with getting adolescent boys kind of, you know, straightened up and aiming for going to college and making decisions and connecting the dots between maybe grades that won't work well with the application process of pursuing college and talking to my husband. Well, instead of working it out with my kids, I am irritated that my husband says, well, you need to get in there and talk to the teachers and check on the IEP issue and blah, blah, blah. And I'm getting more and more aggravated in dreaming of eating a breakfast burrito. And I'm just like stopping the insane thinking. And it really, for me, is an enormous act of faith that I have to say, I am irritated right now. I really need to go do a 10-step, go for a walk, say what I'm experiencing out loud, turn on vision because I missed the 7 a.m. call, et cetera, et cetera. So this paragraph is just reinforcing with kindness not even harsh consequences, but with kindness, our sound reasoning failed to hold us in check. Every compulsion I have right now wants me to make a burrito. My compulsion does not make me want to go off and have a moment with God or my sponsor. And so I am just grateful and of just the providence that brought me to this paragraph in this moment, in this zone. My boys right now are, you know, home with the flu. And so they don't really need a crazy mom all over them about grades. They just need to get better. But on the other hand, I have tools in my hands, not to fix them, but to fix me. God is placing opportunity in my hands and the tools that I have. And I'm so grateful because Vision is part of that, as well as everyone who's listening and sharing. Thank you so much. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kelly H. from North Carolina. Looks like time will offer probably another 90 seconds or less to make a final comment about what they've learned, what you've experienced with paragraph 2, page 37. Would you like to have that for about 90 seconds or less?
Amy W., California.
Joe M.,
gotcha.
From Minnesota.
Hey. Joe, it looks like Amy came in just a little bit before you. Thanks
okay,
so
thanks
much
anyway.
For stepping in, though. Yeah, you betcha. Good morning to you. So, Amy W., it's yours. Thank you. Good morning to you.
Amy W., claiming my seat from California. Compulsive overeater recovered just for today. I'll call you tomorrow if it changes. Yeah, in 90 seconds, I can tell you my best idea on any best day was laying on the ground and praying to the Twinkie God. And that best idea got me no answers, 300 pounds, and wanting to kill myself with food. Which sounds easy to me now, but it's hard to kill yourself with food. And I am just, I can't even tell you, so grateful. Because I too spent 20 years in program until my Ebby, who found Vision, would not leave me alone. And I am so grateful for that. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much. That's a lovely way to end this meeting today. And thank you for all that shared this morning and on this particular paragraph. It is so instructional, especially from the emotional position of how it's worked for us individually in our lives. And if you all want a little bit of trivia, I just want to let you know that 8 of our 11 folks that shared today were for representing California. Feel yourself proud today with that particular one. I just find that kind of interesting. So I'd like to close out this meeting, the recorded portion of our meeting, with having Shelley E. please read from page 164. A book is meant to be suggestive only. However, we have a good 10 minutes or more left of the meeting, so don't go anywhere. That's not an exit card. We're just going to finish the recorded portion of the meeting. Good morning, Shelley. Grateful for you.
Good morning, Melly. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. Page 164, the big book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellow. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for